episode 5, I have decided to do the Zodiac Killer. So I know this is a really well-known case, and there is a movie that has been produced about it. I know that Robert Downey Jr. is the star of it. I was actually watching it last week. So it kind of got me a little interested in it, and I decided to do this as my podcast today for you. So hopefully you like what I have for you. I do have a few new things added to my podcast. Also, too, my Patreon page will be up next week. So if you're interested in extended podcasts or new features or even special episodes that you can't find on Anchor, then I suggest you go to my Patreon page that will be uploaded next week. So why don't we get started with the Zodiac Killer? The Zodiac Killer was an infamous murderer that terrorized the Southern California during 1960s to 1970s, killing 5 people and claiming he has killed more than 30 victims. While on this cryptic murder spree, he actually taunted the police. He made threats by sending letters to the newspapers in the area. From 1969 to 1974, until the letters' communication had ceased altogether, there was an intensive investigation and studies of the Zodiac. So the Zodiac's letters that he sent had cryptic messages in them. I just kind of like want to explain a little bit about it. So still to this day, no one has actually been able to solve the last remaining letters of it, which I will get into it with my story. But I just kind of want to explain that a bit. So he claims that his true identity is actually hidden in the cryptic ciphers that he has sent. Still, no one has been able to actually find out the name of him. But during a TV call, which I will get into, he called himself Sam. But for now, we will call him the Zodiac. So on August 1st, 1969, the San Francisco Examiner and the San Francisco Chronicle and Villaggio Times Herald had received identical letters with no return addresses. So, I will read the first letter for you. Dear Editor, I am the killer of 2 teenagers. Last Christmas at Lake Herman. The girl, last 4th of July. And to prove this, I shall state some facts, which only I, plus the police, know. Now, in this letter, before I go on, I kind of want to point out that there are words that have extra lettering, and it is a little bit different than how you would normally write. Now, everything that was in these letters were part of the cipher. This is how they figured out what was actually what he wrote in those. So, he wrote Christmas with 2 S's. 1 brand of ammo, Super X, 2... 10 shots fired. 3. Boy was on his back with feet to car. 4. Girl was lying on right side, feet to west. 4th July. 1 girl wearing pattern pants. 2 boys were also shot in knee. 3. Ammo was made by Western. Here's a cipher, or part of one of them that he has sent, or part of one. The other 2 parts are being mailed to the Villaggio Times and S.F. Chronicles. I want you to print this cipher on the front page. And he wrote front, F-R-U-N-T, by Fry afternoon, August 1st, 69. If you do not print this cipher, I will go on a killing rampage, Fry night. This will last the whole weekend. I will cruise around killing people who are alone at night until Sunday night, or until I kill a dozen people. End of letter. 2 other letters that were sent. The second one was deciphered by a high school teacher named Donald Hardin and his wife Betty, which reads, I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game. In the forest, because men is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is, page flip, sorry, is that when I die, I will be reborn in paradise, and all the people I have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name, because you will try to slow down or stop me. My collection of slaves. For my afterlife, random lettering. I'm not going to read because it won't make sense to you. Which is the part of the cipher that still to this day has not been solved, but it just reads gibberish. So I think that's why I think he put that in there to throw everybody off. Because as he states in his letter, he does not want to be slowed down or stopped collecting slaves. Which, you know, is kind of like a weird thing. Like, I know, like, back then, like, way, way back then, there was slavery and there was a lot of that. But it seems like he's trying to return to that. But after death, he doesn't want slaves on Earth. He wants to die and have slaves serve him. That's kind of a little creepy. So anyways, part three was the Cipher Codex, which apparently contains his identity. So after the letters were sent to the Bay Area Police Departments, which the FBI started to try and track him down. So I kind of came up with a Zodiac killing timeline for you. So this is like out of all the information and stuff, instead of like writing a long story for you that would probably take about four parts and major videos, I broke this down into a timeline for you with the dates and a little bit of history on each day that came. So, Zodiac's killing timeline. Let's start with the first. December 20th, 1968. David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen are shot and killed at Lake Herman Road in Beyonce. On July 4th, 1969, Michael Magoo and Darlene Farin are shot in Blue Rock Springs Park in Villaggio. Magoo survives, Farin dies. On August 2nd, 1969, the Chronicle runs the cipher with the first confirmed letter. On September 27th, 1969, Brian Hartnell and Celia Shepherd are stabbed repeatedly at Lake Bressa. Hartel survives. So far we have two guys that have survived, and what I've kind of noticed is he likes to kill at lake areas. It kind of seems like that's kind of his MO, I would have to say. So on October 11th, 1969, a cab driver named Stein is shot to death in Persido Heights in San Francisco. Police first report this as a robbery before connecting this killing to the Zodiac. On October 15, 1969, Zodiac sends the Chronicle letter, claiming he has murdered Stein. The letter includes a piece of the cab driver's bloody shirt, with a note that the Zodiac wrote, "School children make nice targets. I think I shall wipe out a school bus. Some morning, just shoot out the front tire and pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out." That's a little dark, I'd have to say. That's pretty dark. So anyways, sorry. On October 22nd, 1969, a man claiming to be Zodiac calls the Oakland Police Department, says he wants to talk to Melvin Belle's TV show. Host Belly soon takes his call on the air. He asks us to meet in front of a shop in Daly City. He never showed up. Police assumed it wasn't him. But I do have the actual recorded phone conversation for you, so I figured you would enjoy listening to it. So here it is.
Attorney Melvin Bella, accompanied by police and newsmen, waited 45 minutes today to keep a rendezvous with San Francisco's Zodiac killer of five persons. The man who made the appointment never showed up. The meeting was arranged this morning when a caller, identifying himself as Sam, reached Bella on a KGO-TV talk show. He said he was the Zodiac killer and needed help. Here's how it looked and sounded.
Talk to us. Just tell us what's going on inside you right now, Sam. Please.
I have headaches.
How long did you have those headaches, Sam? In a long time?
Since I killed a kid.
What? Was it before December that you had the headaches?
Yes.
Were you in the service that you might have had an an injury in service. Did you ever fall out of a tree or down the stairs? Were you ever unconscious?
I don't know.
You don't remember. Does Oscar do any good?
No.
Doesn't really do it. Some damn stuff never did good.
Goodbye, Larry. Sam, let me ask you a question. Would you attempt to call this program one other time when Mr. Belli was with us? Did you try to call us one other time about two or three weeks ago when Mel Belli was with us?
Yes.
And you, couldn't get through, the phones were tied up, was that it?
Yes.
Sam, let me ask you this. There's some reason why you go to a particular doctor, a particular priest. For some reason why apparently you wanted to talk to me or Lee. Is it that you feel that we have compassion for people who get in trouble? Or is it you feel that we can do something for you? Or is it you feel that we have enough integrity that if we promise you something, that we're going to stick to it?
Well, let's find out why did you want to talk to Mr. Belli, Sam?
I don't want to be hurt.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror in San Francisco. Today there was a possibly significant development in the terrifying case of the man who calls himself Zodiac and has boasted that he is responsible for 5 murders in the last 9 months. In Zodiac's latest letter last week, he threatened to make a busload of school children his next victims. Since then, school buses have been discreetly guarded and parents' fears have openly risen. This morning, the people of San Francisco heard a man who claimed to be Zodiac talking on the air during a television conversation program with attorney Melvin Belli and the program's host, Jim Dunbar.
That was the voice of a man who called himself the Zodiac Killer. He's talking to attorney Melvin Belli by phone on a television conversation show. This bizarre situation began at 2 o'clock this morning when the so-called Zodiac telephoned police headquarters. He said he was sick, he needed help, and he wanted to talk to Belli on television. All the scheduled guests were canceled from the show on the ABC station KGO. Belli waited for Zodiac to call on a private line. The phone was not tapped. The killer telephoned 12 times. He spoke very little, with attorney Belli trying to draw him out.
Jim said that maybe he's afraid of being beaten up or something like that now. What can I say?
Why don't we just ask Sam to tell us a little bit more about what he's feeling right now? Tell us about your feelings, Sam.
Just tell us anything you want to. And then we'll come back and I'll give you a specific answer to this question that you've asked for the last day. Stay with us so I can answer that for you. But will you attend on Jim just a minute and tell me what you're feeling or talk to us?
Just tell us what's going on inside your head, Sam.
I have headaches.
How long have you had those headaches, Sam? In a long time?
Since I killed a kid.
If you could all boil it down to the question of you're giving yourself up, if you could be assured that you wouldn't get capital punishment for my son.
I want to give myself up. I want to kill old kid.
Belli finally arranged to meet Zodiac in Daly City, a suburb south of San Francisco, to talk in person. The attorney waited in an office building, but Zodiac never showed. I asked Belli if he thought the man who called really was the Zodiac killer.
Negative. I can't say. All I can say is this man needed help. This man seemed like a man who was coming up to a storm or to a climax. Look at this very blood-curdling thing. Children kill, and then there's sort of an agonized cutoff. And have to turn your hair white of the mountain.
So inside the thrift shop, St. Vincent de Paul, attorney Melvin Belli, and the San Francisco police waited for the Zodiac killer. The man did not show. So now all we can do is wait perhaps for that next phone call from the man who calls himself Zodiac, who has killed 5 and says he's going to kill again. Dick Shoemaker, ABC News, San Francisco.
We'll be back with more news in a moment.
So I hope you enjoyed the phone conversation that I put on for you. So I kind of want to go through a little bit of a few things with you before I continue with my timeline. So in the phone call, I don't know if you noticed, but they were kind of trying to seek out a lot of answers from them. Like, how long have you had these headaches? Been a long time. And then the caller starts talking about how he killed a kid. And, you know, he doesn't really seem like he's in his right mind. He kind of seems like he's going insane. Now, from his letters that he has sent in to the newspapers and stuff, you can kind of tell his mental state is pretty out there. Now, even with all the information that I have found, I was trying to find a profiling done on the Zodiac, like if they think he is a psychopath or a serial killer, which of course he is a serial killer, but I mean like the thought process, you know, how when Ted Bundy actually, and the reason why I bring this up is because he's going to be one of my future episodes, Ted Bundy. The whole entire time, he had in his mind that he was innocent and he was going to prove everyone guilty. Now, his mindset is different from the Zodiac's. Zodiac's mindset is he wants to kill people for slavery. Ted Bundy did it out of his own sexual thrills. He got sexual thrills out of it. He, in the movie, I don't know if you've seen the Ted Bundy movie, but he, when he tied up the girl and killed him, he got sexual satisfaction. Now, out of the profiling, I couldn't find anything where they thought about if this was a sexual thrill for him or if he thought this was, you know, legitimately how he was supposed to live life. There was really nothing about that that I could find. I was really hoping I could. But from what I can see is about this phone call conversation, I don't really know if it's the Zodiac or not. I mean, like, there's a lot of details that could prove it was him, but at the same time, it can go against and prove that it's not him. And I know that the police stated that it wasn't him and all this and stuff, but back then, if they actually did have phone tracing, imagine finding this guy. Like, imagine the stuff they could find out from him. He would have probably brought the investigating process up quite a bit faster. So anyways, I also wanted to point out, they were asking, is there some reason why you go to, or there's some reason why you go to a particular doctor or a particular priest, and some reason why apparently you wanted to talk to me or Lee. Now, right there, it's like they're trying to fish out details of where he lives or where he's going, I would say. But no matter how much they ask him, he just replies with, I don't want to be hurt. I did not say anything. That was my headache. In the recordings I found, there was part of the recording that got cut out, and in the recording where it says, Dunbar, well, let's find out why he wanted to talk to, why did you want to talk to Mr. Bell, Sam? Caller, I don't want to be hurt. Bell, you're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be hurt if you talk to me, Dunbar. You're not going to be, you're not going to go to a gas chamber. Belly, I wouldn't think they'd ask for capital punishment. We should ask the district attorney. You want me to do that, Sam? You want me to talk to the district attorney? Sam screams. Belly, what was that? Caller, I did not say anything. That was my headache. Belly, it sounds like you're in a great deal of pain. Your voice sounds muffled. End of clip. Now, that was actually the real phone call. The ending of it anyways, but they cut it out for some reason. I don't know why, but it seems right there, like, he screamed and he said it was his headache. Now, is he hearing voices? Is he psychotic? Is he going insane? That was kind of my thought when I was going through that. So I kind of thought that was a little interesting, and I thought I'd kind of give you a little insight on what I thought. So why don't we get back to my timeline? So on November 12, 1969, the Chronicles published Zodiac's new cryptogram, including a letter from a Zodiac claiming two more murders, which makes a total of 7 murders now. But the police still believe there are only 5 because they didn't find the other 2 bodies. But again, with what he's done before, why would you not believe the letters if the letters were proven to be true in the first place? So anyways, I thought that was pretty off base for the police there, or pretty stupid, I should say, but anyways, so on December 27th, 1969, police receive a letter to Belly from the Zodiac on December 20th, which reads, please help me, I'm drowning. the letter says, was Stein, the cab driver's cut piece of bloody shirt. January 25th, 1970, San Francisco cab driver Charles Jarman is in Persido Heights, was killed a few blocks from where Stein was first killed. So the Yellow Cab Company at this point actually has offered a $1,000 reward, leading to any information on the arrest or the identification of the Zodiac. So on March 22nd, 1970, Kathleen Johns, 22, is driving with her newborn on Highway 123 near Meadowest. A driver flashes his lights. So she pulls over and offers to help the man loosen the nut. Then he drives them around, and all of a sudden, he actually lets them go. Now, she states this is the Zodiac. Apparently, everything about this kind of gave her the impression that it was the Zodiac, even though there's no evidence, and the police refused to believe that she was picked up by the Zodiac. But this girl, I mean, like, she was terrified. She swore it was him, and if she didn't have her daughter, she claimed she would have been killed that night. And, you know, I could believe it. Like, especially back then, like, you couldn't trust anyone. So on April 22nd, 1970, the Chronicle reports another Zodiac killer, claiming 10 kills now. It ends. P.S. I hope you have fun trying to figure, with two G's, out who I killed. Also, he threats a bomb that's been planted in the Bay Area police station. Now, there's no bomb. They obviously inspected the whole building, evacuated once they got a threat like this, but they could find no traces of a bomb, nothing like that. So obviously this was an empty threat, which kind of throws off his integrity with the police, I'm assuming. So then no later than October 12th, 1970, the Chronicle reports a postcard from the Zodiac with 13 punch holes. He claims that he has killed 13 people. On October 27th, 1970, Zodiac sends Chronicle crime reporter Paul Avery, and I quote, "You are doomed." Which is kind of a pretty big threat, but again, Avery was never harmed or never sent another postcard or letter. I think it was another threat trying to get more attention to his case, I'm assuming, because the police aren't believing he's murdered people, so he's trying to get his word out there. To me, I believe the taunting and everything is he wants people to know he's doing this. He doesn't want to just go, you know, about his business. He wants people to know he is powerful. That's what I've kind of gotten about the Zodiac so far. So on November 16th, 1970, the Chronicle runs a story pointing out the similarities between the Zodiac's killings and the 1966 murder of a UC Riverside student, Cher Jo Bates. Now, police have never confirmed her to be one of the Zodiac killings, but with so many similarities, I would have to say I believe that this is one of his murders, and if he's claimed he's killed 13 people now, I don't understand why the police aren't trying to connect the dots of how many people he's tried to kill. Because the more murders they find out, the more evidence they get, the closer they're going to be to catching the culprit. But again, the police don't really have much knowledge, or the FBI at this point, from what I'm going through, and it's kind of sad if there's a lot more work put into this. But then again, I know there's lots of other crimes and murders and rapes and mysteries. So, of course, there's only so much time that investigators can put into an active case like this. So on March 16th, 1971, the Chronicle reports that the Los Angeles Times has received a letter from the Zodiac after 5 months claiming 17 victims now, including the Bates murder. Now, the Bates murder, that's something I'm going to be getting into another episode. If I start now, I'm probably not going to finish my story here for you. I was obsessed with Bates Motel, and I was obsessed with finding out who the actual Bates murderer was. So I kind of just want to keep going with this. So on March 26, 1971, Zodiac becomes what's known as a peek through the pines, because that's what was on the postcard when it was sent to the Chronicle. So the amateur sleuths think that this card refers to the killings of the Donna Lass. She was a nurse that went missing on September 1970 at Lake Tahoe, but her body was never found, so it was not connected to the Zodiac, and police have only deemed her missing. They have not deemed her killed. So I don't understand why amateur sleuths say it refers to the killing if no body was found and the police deem it missing. Why would it be considered a killing? So they still have not connected that to anyone, and so to this day, she has not been found. So on December 1971, Dirty Harry is released, which is actually a loosely based movie that was set on the Zodiac killings, starring Clint Eastwood. So on January 31st, 1974, the Chronicle reports another letter from the Zodiac, after 3 years claiming three victims now. On April 26, 1978, the Chronicle reports the first letter from Zodiac since January 1974. The Zodiac wrote that the San Francisco police inspector, David Toschke, is good, but I am smarter, taunting him to the Chronicle. The columnist, Herb Kane, quotes, I am here. Some experts say this is false because there's not really a lot of evidence showing that this was real. So I'm not really too sure. I couldn't really find much information about it. But I kind of like want to let you know that this was a fake letter that apparently was sent. But I mean, like, if the Zodiac was sending letters and the Chronicle believes it's Zodiac, why don't the police? What are the reasons why they don't believe it's the Zodiac? So anyways, in 1986, the Chronicle cartoonist Robert Gray Smith comes out with Zodiac, his version of the history of his killings and crimes. He soon follows up with a sequel called Zodiac Unmasked in 2002, which he states that the late convicted child molester Arthur Leash Allen of Bellagio is the killer. Now, please still consider Allen a suspect, but they've never really actually been able to connect him to the crimes. Now, also, too, while they were interrogating him, there was still tons of conflict, everyone looking for the Zodiac, and, you know, like, I don't understand how they came upon finding him. There was a lot of information I went through. I mean, I went through over about 40 sites, so I kind of didn't want to make this podcast too long. I do work midnight shifts, so it is a little bit hard for me to get as many updated podcasts as I can for you, but I do have a few good ones coming up for you, and I hope you tune into those if you're enjoying my podcast. If not, I also appreciate feedback and anything I could change for you. So as we go on, on May 14th, 1996, police suspect the Unabomber, Theodore J. Kaczewski, is also the Zodiac, but Theodore soon was only convicted as the Unabomber because they couldn't find evidence, again, connecting him to the crimes. So on August 15th, 2002, scant DNA evidence started working with the San Francisco homicide inspectors, who clearly believe that Allen is the Zodiac because he was actually their pretty much only suspect. So I guess I could see why they're all pointing to Allen, because they do want to call this case. They want to find, you know, some comfort for the families of the murdered victims. I can see the police's frustration with this. But after DNA testing, he was inconclusive. They couldn't actually find an answer if he was that Zodiac. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but still to this day, he still remains the only suspect to the case. So on April 7th, 2004, police put aside the Zodiac's case and place it inactive. Lieutenant John Hennessy, head of the police department, states, he gives, at a press conference, he states this to the cameras and everyone, given the pressure of our existing case and the amount of cases that remain at this time, upon further consideration, we need to be most efficient at using our resources. The case is later reactivated. On October 5th, 2005, the Zodiac movie is released in 2007 of March with Robert Downey Jr., the movie that I actually watched a few days ago. I thought I should throw that in there, just, you know, just to make it a little fun. So on May 4th, 2018, with DNA leading to no success of any DNA searches, they actually did get successful with catching the Golden State Killer. Now, the Golden State Killer case is actually another really, really big case. I'm sure you have heard of it. The detectives at the Villaggio Police Department sends out decades of letters from the Zodiac to a forensic lab with hopes of a genetic profile being built. You know how you can send your DNA out and you can find your family's history and everything? They still have not got anything from it, which is actually pretty interesting. I mean, like, if they can't find any genealogies that match the Zodiac, I mean, like, is he a Martian? Is he even real? No, I'm kidding. I'm not even going to get into the alien stuff. That can be for the conspiracy theorists. So even with all the levers, evidence, DNA testing, the FBI, the investigators, all the killings, the cryptic letters, still to this day, there have been 14 letters that don't make sense in the cryptic messaging that still remains unsolved. No one has ever been able to find out a name from any of the ciphers or any of the grueling messages that were sent or the taunts to the police or within the phone calls or the letters to Belly. There was nothing they could find. So who's going to solve this murder or this mystery? The police surely can't. I mean, like, I know there's lots of stuff that has to be done, and even with the new developing technology, they still have not been able to catch the Zodiac. So hopefully, maybe one day, someone will be able to find out who this is. So who knows if he'll ever be caught? Who knows if he's ever gonna reveal himself? Maybe one day we'll find out, but for now, he still remains a mystery. And that is all I have for you today, Creepaholics fans. That was the case of the Zodiac Killer. So tune in for more Creepaholics with your host, Shanice. I am also on many different platforms. You can also find me on Patreon as well. We also have a YouTube channel. Don't forget to like, click, share, or follow your Creepaholics podcast. Thanks, guys. Hope you have a wonderful night. And don't forget to keep creeping it real.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now. Thank you.